Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Good afternoon. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. So glad to have you listening today. Earlier, I talked with Lisa Whittle about wanting more of God. What a powerful conversation. You know, so many things get in the way of us wanting God more than anything. And if you just need a reset and a reminder, you can find that podcast up in a little bit on our website at myfaithradio.com. Now we're going to switch gears and talk about the power of our yes. My new book came out a few weeks ago. It's titled Your Sacred Yes, Trading Life-Draining Obligation for Freedom, Passion, and Joy. I'm very excited about it. Today we're going to talk about saying yes to God's wisdom and power. We're going to make the distinction between the busyness that drains us and the abundance that trains us. Because don't you want to be on the most life-giving path that God has for you? Maybe you're feeling tired. Maybe you're feeling resentful because of your busy schedule and you're overcommitted. You know, most of us feel that tug to do more, to please more people, to expend more energy than we feel like we have because it feels like the Christian thing to do. And so often we run ourselves ragged, not even realizing that God has not sanctioned that as a way of life, that truly in His yes for us, there's always an element of rest. There's an ebb to our flow. And He wants us to remember how good a belly laugh can feel and how important it is to stop at a lemonade stand, how important it is to love the ones in your lives, to have enough margin in your life to be interruptible and to have time to pause and cease striving and know that He is God. But we live in a rat race culture, and if we're not careful, we get caught up in it, and we get to drain to the point that we lose our sense of perspective, our sense of joy. But something worse happens when we get running that hard. We make ourselves vulnerable. We actually destabilize ourselves. And truly, we did a whole show on spiritual vulnerability, I think it was a year or two ago, and you couldn't believe the calls that came in of solid, godly Christians who were running the rat race, even doing a lot of church stuff. You know, they were doing too much church stuff, more than God asked them to do. And in those moments of unrealized vulnerability fell. You know, the enemy just was seeking for the moment. And in their vulnerability, in their fatigue, they made a choice that was beneath them. And their whole life came to a crashing halt. Everything just sort of burned up in front of them. And they would have given anything for someone to get in front of them and say, stop the craziness. You got to stop. You have your limits. I have my limits. Cease striving and know that He is God. So we're going to talk about just taking some inventory today of what drives us to say yes. And oftentimes it's the wrong stuff. And we're going to look at that without the condemnation. I divided the book up into three sections, the sloppy yes, the shackled yes, and the sacred yes. The sloppy yes is when we just rush through life thinking we have an unlimited supply of yeses, an unlimited supply of times and moments and days, and we're just sloppy with the stuff we commit to. We just say yes because there's nobody else or because it seems like a good enough cause, and even if God hasn't given us a yes. Well, that's what we're going to talk about, is the busyness that drains us. Well, the shackled yes, that's the second section of the book, that's really about the fear of man. It really is about when our yeses are driven by our desire to manage others' opinions of us. So maybe we say yes so they don't get mad. We say yes so they'll be impressed. We say yes so we look better than we actually are. And there's times where it actually takes more faith to say no than it does to say yes. And I have to say, when we walk in the sacred yes of God, what goes along with that is a willingness to be misunderstood at times, where you might judge that I have to say no, but ultimately I live for an audience of one. I'm content to be misunderstood by you so that I can seek God, live for Him, and give my yes to Him. And that's the third section, is the sacred yes. So as I said, today we're going to cover the content of two chapters. Chapter one is Caution, Danger Ahead, Say Yes to God's Wisdom. And chapter two is When I Move Too Fast, Say Yes to God's Power. I want to give you one more quick announcement before we get going here, is that in the back of each chapter, there's personal reflection questions, so you can journal the questions and just have some deep thought with it, or you can do it as a group, and there's group reflection questions at the end of each chapter. Then there's those who are used to doing a in-depth Bible study. So on my website, SusieLarson.com, there's a free downloadable workbook of deeper Bible study questions. So you print up the workbook pages, put them in a three ring, and you've got yourself a Bible study. And there's a companion DVD to go along with the book, and you that's sold separately. So today we'll be playing a few clips from the DVD. And this very first clip we're going to play is about why busyness makes us vulnerable. And I talk about a dream, but we're going to wait on that just for a second, Matt, since a call came in. And Christine is calling in from Duluth, and she's got a comment today, and I'm really glad to give her the first copy of Your Sacred Yes. Christine, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. When you talked about in your introduction about all the busyness, mm-hmm. I just see that over and over with friends and getting really sucked in with the whole sporting scene is just not what it was when I was a kid, where, you know, you wanted to be in something. Yeah, you put your kid in when they're in junior high maybe or whatever. And so many things are so, like, it's either all or nothing.
Yeah.
Either you're 110% in and you're running all gangbusters with sports, or you don't get them in early and then you're left behind. And I think a lot of parents are, fear is driving them. I want my kid to be accepted. I want my kid to be in sports. I want whatever it is. And they get sucked into that rat race, like, faster than you can say boo.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy. And I've said, I just rebel against that. So I think there's a lot of people listening that's their fear. Their driving force is, well, I have to do this for my kid because what if my kid doesn't get accepted or whatever. I don't know what it is, but I see it as sports has become a god in our society, as few and fewer people have Christ at the center or they even go to church. There's this vacuum that's created on Sundays, so they play on Sundays and then they have to. Do you see that?
I totally know what you're saying. In fact, Ron Luce, he's the director of Acquire the Fire, and my hubby was a volunteer youth pastor for a number of years ago, and one of the things Ron said is, he said to these youth leaders, he said, coaches are doing a better job casting a vision for your sons and your daughters' lives than you are, because these kids, what teenager who's normally self-indulgent would get up early, stay up late, work out hard, do their homework, you know, squeeze it in whenever they can, but somehow, some way, the coaches have cast a vision for their life in a way that these kids are willing to sacrifice all in. And really, what Jesus has for our kids is so much greater, and we've got to be able to find a way to cast a vision for our kids as well. But I know what you're saying. My kids are grown now, but you are right. It's taken on a whole different speed and acceleration and cost. And oh my goodness, I think I pray for the parents today to know how to put boundaries there, because kids are, that the level of ulcers among children is something like at epidemic rate, like it's never been before, because they're not wired to be that stressed and strained at that level all the time, are they?
No, I think I'm not doing that. I will not do that to my kids. To our family life, I think it takes away from family life, and I think it's a key tool that the enemy is using in today's society, and people get sucked into it.
There's got to be a way to navigate, because some kids are gifted in sports. There's got to be a way to do it without sacrificing everything else, in the process. But you're so right, and boy, Lord, help us know what to do there. But Christine, thanks for that input, and you get a copy of Your Sacred Yes. I'm glad you called in.
Thank you.
God bless you. 877-933-2484. So, like I said, there's a companion DVD that goes with my book, Your Sacred Yes. We're going to play this first clip about why busyness makes us vulnerable. Listen in.
And so we really need to understand that busyness, running ragged like we have all the time in the world, not only makes us tired, it makes us vulnerable. And Psalm 39, 6 and 7, it says, we are merely moving shadows. All of our busy rushing ends in nothing. So where do I put my hope? Lord, I put my hope in you. My only hope is in you. We've got to understand that He is our only hope, and there's no wisdom in trying to do this life apart from Him. I remember one time when I was getting ready for a speaking event, and I did not feel like a speaker, and I didn't look like one either. My hip was completely out of joint, so I practically dragged my leg around. I had a chest cold and a head cold, so my nose was beet red. And I show up at the chapel at Northwestern College. I'm sitting in the front row. I was going to speak 6 times in 2 days. And all I wanted to be was in bed with Vicks on my chest. I was so sick and so tired, and my leg and hip were killing me. And I sat in that front row pew begging God for strength. I was so tired, so sick. And I bowed my head and prayed. And I was speaking on prayer. And every single time I got up to speak, God's power invaded the message somehow. In my absolute utter weakness, the presence of God was so thick and tangible, it's like you could touch it. It was such a sacred, amazing time. One woman sent me a letter, and she said she walked in with a severe sinus infection and walked out without one. Another woman had talked about she had so met God that she could barely speak for 3 days after. That wasn't anything to do with me. I was absolutely at my utter end. But at the presence of God, things change. And I remember going home after that two-day event, so wretchedly tired and sick. Even though I'd encountered him 6 times in a row, I crawled in bed, pulled my sheets up to my chin, and I just said, Lord, what was that? Because I seek him every day. I pray. I'm in the Word every day. But to experience the presence of God like that changed my life. To know that it was possible to experience him in such a way that the ground just felt hallowed and sacred. And I fell asleep. And I'm not someone who dreams very often, but I had a very vivid dream. And if you've read any of my other books or heard me speak, maybe you've heard this story before, but it bears repeating for this point. Is in this dream, I had this picture, and overhead were dark clouds, and they were gray and purple and white, and lightning shot through them. And people were walking to and fro, busy as can be, not even aware. But in the dream, it was so obvious. The clouds hanging overhead were right overhead, and it represented the power of God. But people just were going about their way, paying no attention, that it was right here. But every once in a while, somebody would reach up and grab a handful of the power, and they would put it, you know, on their child or on their heart. And then they would go about their day. It was just sort of hit and miss. But then in the dream, it was like the camera zoomed in, and I saw this one woman, and she reached up, and she put it on her heart. She reached up, she put it on her child. She'd reach up and put it on people that were walking by. It was like she camped in the presence of God, and she knew the power was right there, hers for the taking, and so she laid hold of it for every circumstance and every situation in her life. It was an amazing sight, and I woke up kind of stunned by the dream, and the Lord whispered to my heart, most of my people scratch the surface of what I've made available to them. And that was a game-changing moment for me when I really realized that the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, it's a matter of power, and that we have to lay hold of his wisdom. We need his wisdom so that we can walk through this life. And so there's something so powerful to understand that this moment is a gift from God. You don't know if you're getting tomorrow, but you got today. And the very fact that you're living and breathing on the planet right here, right now, means you have a sacred yes to give to God, because the moment is sacred, but your call is significant, and God is powerful, and he wants to walk you through each and every moment, because he has wisdom for you in the moment, so you can redeem every moment, every step of every day. The moment is sacred. Your call is significant, and God is powerful. I want to take Josh's call real quick here before we go to break. He's calling in from St. Paul. Josh, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Doing well as well. So your wife is in ministry, huh?
She is. She is, yeah. And I've been listening to your show today and talking about your book. It just really hits home. It's just a conversation that we have a lot. I guess just the pressures of ministry make it very tough to say no sometimes. And she's learning that she needs to. She just... doesn't always feel good about it. So
exactly. It's not always easy, but I think when we get to that place in the core, in our heart of hearts, where we understand we are living and breathing for such a time as this, as appointed by God, and the more we acquaint ourselves with him, I think the easier it does get to say, to give that yes and to give that no as God leads us. So I would be so happy, Josh, to give you a copy for your wife of your sacred yes, and maybe you can read it alongside her. But thank you for calling today.
Thank you.
God bless you, sir. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to continue to unpack content from my book, Your Sacred Yes, Trading Life-Draining Obligation for Freedom, Passion, and Joy. Welcome your calls and comments, 877-933-2484, or email Susie at myfaithradio.com. More with me and with you in just a moment.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Today, I'm
Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I'm really excited about this week because all this week we're going through the content of my book, Your Sacred Yes. Every day we're going to delve into a theme and a topic as to what drives us. Why do we drive ourselves the way that we do? That enemy baits us into busyness, but God invites us into a sacred rhythm that suits us, that fits us for the season of life we're in. And this first day, we're going to be talking about saying yes to God's wisdom and God's power. And the two chapters we're covering are Caution, Danger Ahead, Say Yes to God's Wisdom, and When I Move Too Fast, Say Yes to God's Power. Something I learned as I researched this topic, as I lived through some of my own busyness that drained me, is that busyness doesn't just drain us. You know what else it does? It destabilizes us. In other words, it makes us vulnerable to the enemy's schemes. And I've done a show in the past of spiritual vulnerability, and so many godly, solid Christians made choices that were so beneath them, so not like them, because they were worn down, they were tired, they were making it a habit of taking shortcuts. And in one unrealized moment of vulnerability, they fell and the world came crashing down around them. There's plenty of reasons not to be driving ourselves to the point of exhaustion. But I don't know if you've ever thought of the fact that it actually destabilizes you emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. This is one of the reasons we're devoting this whole week to the idea of reclaiming our days. In fact, the Bible says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In other words, it's wise for you to anoint the day, to appoint the day, to recognize the gift of today. We don't know if we have tomorrow. We have today. And every day this week, we're going to be talking about the wisdom in numbering our days. All of these shows this week will be up on our website at myfaithradio.com. I want you to email me if you can. I'd love to hear from you. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Lisa wrote in, she says, the Holy Spirit used your message today to speak right to my heart. The constant request for my time to volunteer has left me a tired, crabby wife and mommy. Thank you. I want to spend more time with the different categories of yes, so that I'm the only one, so that I'm only doing what he has me to do. Lisa, I want that for you too. And I've been there, been that tired mommy, and I realized you can't please everybody, so it's best to just please God. So the book is broken up into three sections, the sloppy yes, the shackled yes, the sacred yes. We're talking the sloppy yes today. And I got a question for you, okay? Here's just actually a few questions just to kind of look at what's driving you and how do your choices leave you? Because so often in church we serve, and we should serve because really there's just a small fraction of the Christians in church doing the majority of the work. So we all need to be engaged to some degree. But way too often it's the 20% doing the 80% work, you know what I'm saying? But we're doing way more than God ever asked us to do. And especially if we're first responders, you know, you see a need and you're someone who would jump up. Well, someone who's maybe a slower responder is probably waiting and maybe God's calling them. And so the yes isn't always yours to give. It might be theirs. And for you to have the guts and the courage to step back and say, I have gifts for this. There is a need before me, but I'm not getting that inner conviction that the yes isn't coming from God. I'm not sensing I'm supposed to do it. My mentor always says, unless God gives you a capital yes, then your answer needs to be no. I love that. But if you wait and you pause and the need remains and you pray, what if God raises up somebody out of that 80% pool and they finally step forward and then they're on an adventure of their lives that you would deprive them of because of your need to step up too quick, right? So here are some questions to ask. Because Jesus says things are proven by their fruit. All right, are you ready? Did the vast majority of your yeses increase your faith and fill you with a greater expectancy of how God is moving in your midst? Or do they drain you to the point that you find yourself weary, simply rushing from one thing to the next? So do your yeses leave you overjoyed, full of expectancy, like, wow, God is who he says he is? Are they wearing you out, like Lisa, just feeling like worn down and disillusioned? Because when you sign up for things God never asked you to do, the fruit will be disillusionment, despair, discouragement, exhaustion, fatigue. Here's another one. Are you captive to your commitments, or are you free to respond to God's invitation to do life with him? Is your current path a catalyst to increasing joy and faith? Or does all that rushing and racing make you more prone to worry and fear? That's fruit. You want to pay attention to it. When you assess honestly the time you give away to your various commitments, do you find behind it all a divinely inspired soul growing in grace and strength? Or are you spent and weary, losing steam day by day? Well, this is what's true. Nothing drains us more than signing up for things God never asked us to do. Nothing drains us more than signing up
for things God never asked us to do. But that's exactly where we tend to lose our way, because we live so shackled to everybody else's opinions, expectations, requirements, and we give our lives away. We give our yes away because of a lie. We commit to things in order to save face, and as a result, we miss out on God's invitation to fully entrust ourselves to Him. I don't want to miss anything He has for me. And we need to know that when the Bible says that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is alive and available to us, shouldn't that inform how we live? Shouldn't that impact how we live? Don't you remember that the kingdom of God isn't just a theory that we discuss? It's not a list of do's and don'ts that we carefully obey. It's a living, breathing relationship with Jesus, the Most High God, who intends to transform us from the inside out, to mark our lives with power, to show us where to go, to use us in ways that are totally disproportionate to who we are. But sadly, most of us, so many of us, once we secure our eternity and we trust God, trust Jesus to save us, we live our lives like the rest of the world. We worry about the same things the world worries about. We spend our cares and our finances and our time and our gift giving things away to things God never asked us to do. And then we wonder why we feel like the rest of the world does. But here's the truth. I'm going to read from my book, Your Sacred Yes. Jesus invites us to walk intimately with Him, to abide with Him and in Him in such a way that our life abounds in life-giving fruit, solid evidence that we're connected to a supernatural source. He invites us to experience His kingdom power mightily at work in us, through us, and all around us. That's the invitation. Life is a gift. Time is a treasured commodity. When we open our hands and give what we have to Jesus, be it our moments, our gifts, our time, or simply room and space for Him to show up, we find our lives to be a sacred journey. And when we do life with a consistent awareness of God's presence in our midst, we find joy. And that's actually the place where healing, fulfillment, and abundance happen. Jesus invites us to live purposeful, passionate, focused, and free. And I'd say it's time for us to grab hold of those moments and cherish our days in the way that Jesus cherishes us. I don't want to miss a thing, and I don't think you do either. Another thing we're going to address on the other side of the break is how we need God's wisdom so that we can discern what to say yes to. I'm going to make the distinction between a busyness that drains us and an abundance that trains us. I'm going to tell you a story about a time where a woman took me out to breakfast, and the conversation with her about knocked me silly when I was in that busyness that drains, doing all kinds of good things, God things at church, but it was killing me in the process. She asked me out to breakfast. She sat across the table. I thought she just wanted to get to know me, but boy, she had something to say that put a whole new fear of God in me. And maybe you've been there before. Maybe you're there now. Maybe you're in such a place of busyness. You're exhausted. What you don't realize is not only are you missing out on the best of what God has for you, but you're destabilizing your life. When we give our yes to things God's never asked us to, guess what? We leave the sacred parts of our life unattended. Rich relationship, maybe with our spouse, if you're married, with your kids, with your friends, taking care of your health, nurturing a oneness with God, giving space and time for God to interrupt your day and move in your life so He can use you in the world around you. His will for you is your best case scenario. So it's time to take back your yeses and your nos so that you can live in a manner worthy of His name. Don't go away. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the difference between a busyness that drains and an abundance that trains.
Listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise. You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Come live in water, all my fountains are in you.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Really glad to have you listening. I'm excited because all this week we are going through the content of my book, Your Sacred Yes. And all this week, hour one, we're devoting guests to to talking about concepts out of the book on a deeper level. And so right now, this hour, we're talking about the busyness that drains versus the abundance that trains. But before we get into that segment, I want to just tell you that this is sort of a ramp, a start to the online study. For those of you who want to take this content to a deeper level, we're very excited here at Faith Radio because we'll be doing an online study together. It starts February 8th. You can even sign up right now. So if you go to our website, myfaithradio.com, then get to the Live the Promise show page, you'll see at the top a banner that says your sacred yes. Sign up, and then starting February 8th, you'll get 3 emails a week helping you along through the content. There'll be some embedded videos that you can watch, reflection questions you can think about, and we can do this together. Go through the content for 6 weeks. It's flexible. It's wonderful because you can get at it when you can get at it, but hopefully by the end of the 6 weeks, you will feel that you've got a stronger sense of your identity in Christ, a stronger sensitivity to the Spirit, so that you pay attention to when you're getting into a striving and a busyness that just absolutely drains you, or when you're giving your yes away to manage someone else's opinion of you. The whole goal is to redeem our moments and our days so that we live and serve an audience of one. I hope you'll consider joining us. Again, the information is on the Live the Promise show page on our website at myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com. You can email me if you've got questions, too. That's Susie@myfaithradio.com. We're talking about the busyness that drains us versus the abundance that trains us. And I mentioned that the book is broken into 3 sections, really important because we need to look at what's driving us. And sometimes what drives us is the sloppiness of our yes, where we just give it away, give our yes away. We say yes so fast without thinking about that every yes takes time, space, and energy. And then when we get there, we're like, oh, I can't believe I committed to this. And we get ourselves in such a bind. Well, guess what? If you say yes to too many things too often, it doesn't make you less saved. It doesn't even make you less loved, but it's not sustainable, and it makes you vulnerable. And I mentioned this story when I was on with Neil Stephen on Connecting Faith. This was one of those stories that knocked me silly, but it was umpteen years ago as a young mom and wife. But I was doing all the good church things, way over-involved, and my hubby was too. And we were running parallel paths, and we were exhausting ourselves. And this very distinguished woman from my church invited me to breakfast. I just thought she wanted to get to know me. Little did I know that she was about to knock me silly. And very respectable woman, you know. And we're sitting across from each other, and she just wasn't even into her food. And she said, Susie, she said, my hubby and I were once in a leadership role like you. We were once very respected like you. We were very fruitful like you, it seems. But she said, we were running ourselves ragged, running parallel paths, doing so many church things, good things, God things, but not things God had asked us to do. And we were exhausting ourselves. And in one unrealized moment of vulnerability, my husband fell in a public moral way, and our lives came crashing down around us. And she leaned across the table and she said, we are still sorting through the wreckage of that pain and that mess. And I want to tell you, we have a very fierce foe, an enemy who is bent on taking us out, and he wants to take you out. She said, I'm quite sure neither you or Kevin have any intention of stepping out on God's best plan for you. But this enemy wants to take you out. I'm imploring you, pull back and put firmer boundaries around your life, your marriage, and your time. And I am telling you what, it was like a fist to the gut, but it was a God-ordained meeting. I went home and talked with Kev, and there were a few other things like that that were significant wake-up calls. And I'm telling you, we've got to be willing to do that for each other. Now, that's totally different than another encounter that I also wrote about in the book, where a woman I barely knew, I knew of her, but she approached me, and she just right off the bat says this. She says, I've been telling people, you watch Susie Larson. One of these days, she's not going to be able to get out of bed. She's going to hit such a wall that she's going to be so sick, she's not going to be able to move. And I'm like, okay, thanks. I mean, thank you for that gift of discouragement. I'm like, what am I supposed to say to that? And I said, how come you're saying that? Well, I'm just thinking nobody could handle and manage as much as you do. I'm just waiting for you for the day that you burn yourself out. And I know I didn't owe her anything, but I felt like I needed to. She was a younger gal, and I just said, let me just tell you about some of the disciplines I put in my life in place because I was burnt out. There was a day many years ago I couldn't get out of bed. I have a great life now. I have margin. I have boundary. I go to bed about 9 o'clock every night. I enjoy about an hour and a half with the Lord every single morning. I work out a few times a week, drink 60 ounces of water pretty much every day. And I'm not saying this to brag, but I'm saying I knew the big rocks, which ones had to go back into my life when we burnt out. And I've not let up on those things. And the truth of the matter is, there are people who critique my boundaries and think I should give away more. Others who scratch their head and say, hey, no way one person can manage that much. But my hubby and I, we put our big rocks in. We decided these are non-negotiables for us. And you've heard, if you listen to the show, one of our non-negotiables is a really engaged prayer time in the morning, and we close our day in prayer at night. That's radically changed our lives. And this is the honest truth, not an exaggeration. We're doing more together. I would say we're managing five times now what we managed back then when we were running parallel paths. But we're doing it out of a oneness with God and a oneness with each other. Anyway, I explained to her just my life and some of the strict boundaries I put around my life. And she stepped back and she said, wow, I don't even do those things. I was just thinking that your mantle would kill me, so surely it was about to kill you. And I said, no, I said, I appreciate that, but I didn't get here overnight. And this is the difference between the busyness that drains and the abundance that trains. The busyness that drains is when you run yourself so ragged, doing things God never asked you to do. Know this, it's not sustainable, and there will be a day crisis will hit, or you will fall, or you'll make a choice that you never saw coming, and you'll have to stop because it's not sustainable. A couple years ago, I did a whole show on spiritual vulnerability, and the phones lit up, and I'll never forget this one woman called in anonymously. And we were talking about this busyness and how scary it can be because you think, hey, I've accomplished it up to this point. Nothing bad's happened. Surely nothing bad will happen in the future. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to have a false sense of security. Well, this woman called and she said, my hubby and I were doing that, serving in church, running parallel paths, working our tails off. And she met a man and she said, and her voice cracked. And she said, I thought that the burden of my obedience to God, given the current state of my marriage, would have been heavier than the consequence of my sin. But she says, I'm on the other side of my sin now, and I couldn't have been more wrong. I would give anything to go back. She said, the burden of obedience to God would have been nothing compared to what I'm dealing with now. I want you to hear that as a wake-up call. Busyness that drains doesn't just wear you out. It destabilizes you. It makes you vulnerable. And care about your life and your story enough to shore up your life and know that God doesn't sanction an all-out sprint as a way of life. He doesn't call you to it. He won't run you ragged to the point where you're grinding your gears. In God's yes, there'll always be an element of rest. So he doesn't call us to the busyness that drains, but he does call us to the abundance that trains. And here's the difference. Here's the distinction. This is so important. As a fitness person, I get discipline, and I understand consistency, and I think there's power when you have some discipline in your life, some consistency. Those people who have those two things going on tend to have more momentum than those who are maybe hit and miss with their lives. And so when there's an abundance that trains, you understand your limits, and you respect your limits, and you keep a watch on those things. You got to get sleep. You really do need exercise. You got to guard your heart. You got to take care of time wasters. And as you shore up your life, not to be selfish, but to be effective, inside your limits, then you say, God, you are limitless. Do the impossible in and through me. As you dare to ask such an audacious thing, guess what? He will. One step at a time. And so he may lead you to a new opportunity. And it's a little heavier than you're able. Sometimes it feels a lot heavier. But if you know he's guided you to it, you know he'll see you through it. And suddenly you feel the weight of it. So suddenly you've got to carry it differently. You might have to trim the fat off your day. You might have a time waster that's just been a fun little pleasure. Maybe it's some kind of video game or something. But now you're like, I'm losing focus. I don't have time to do that now because I want to be in all in with God's yes. Well, you trim off the fat off your day, and suddenly you're conditioned, and you find a new normal, a new threshold, and you're able to carry that. And then you dare to ask God, do the impossible in and through me, and then he gives you your next assignment. And this is what happens with the abundance that trains. Step by step, one obedient act after another, you are suddenly carrying more than you could carry a year ago or 5 years ago. And people will look at you and they scratch their head and they're thinking, you know, there has to be a God in heaven because no way could he or she accomplish that on their own. And that's what you want, isn't it? But the truth of the matter is always and forever, your limits will be part of this equation because it's not about your greatness. It's about God's greatness. It's not about your ability. It's about God's ability in and through you. And so we have to fear God enough. We have to have the wisdom to fear God, to even mistrust our strengths enough to say, I have to guard my heart, I have to guard my life, and I have to trust that God is so good that in his yes, there's an element of rest. It's okay, it's necessary that I have my limits because it keeps me dependent on him. I'm going to play another clip from my DVD. Now, this DVD is a companion to Your Sacred Yes. You have to buy it separately, but it's for those people who want to maybe do a group thing where you watch a session of the DVD and you read two chapters of the book, because I'll be playing clips from the DVD. This is about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom. If we race through life and we're not fearing God, we are really putting ourselves in a vulnerable place. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let's listen in. Hopefully you know by now that if you commit to things God has not asked you to do, you'll not have the grace to sustain them. So I've come up with a very simple phrase that you're going to own by the end of this 6 weeks. It's live wisely, say yes to God's best. And I'm going to use wisely as an acronym. And the W in wisely is to worship the Lord. In Proverbs 9:10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowing the Holy One results in understanding." I want you to think about that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we start to fear the Lord and honor Him for who He is, we step our toes on the edges of wisdom. How important it is to rightly honor and fear God. You know, I've been working in radio for quite a few years now, and I've got an amazing boss. He's a former pastor. He's got a hilarious sense of humor. He's funny. He's a shepherd, but he's also a visionary. He's got an open door policy, so we can go into his office anytime and cast vision and have ideas. But because he's a former pastor, he really cares about the speaking part of my ministry. And I remember one day I plopped down in his office on a chair and just was kind of struggling with one of my messages. And he said, "What's the matter?" And I said, "Well, I'm just sort of stuck on this point and I don't know how to unpack it." And he goes, "Oh, you should do what I used to do." And I said, "Well, what's that?" He said, "I would always write in the margin during such times, 'Weak point, shout here.'" And I thought that was so good. I thought, "I'll just yell louder. That'll make it sound smart." And I remember one time when I'd blown it on an email, and I really am a task-oriented person. I'm pretty on task, so I don't lose focus very easily. And so it was just sort of uncharacteristic of me to miss an email, and I dropped the ball on something. I felt terrible about it. And I knew he liked carrot cake. So I went to the store and got him this gourmet carrot cake cupcake with wonderful frosting. And I walk into his office, and I said, "This is for being an idiot." And he said, "Do you want to back out and try that again?" And I said, "More than you even know." I couldn't believe I said that to him, and he laughed about it. And the thing is, I love that. I can have a good laugh with him, but he's still my boss, and I do know that. And I know when I need to behave and really give him the honor and the respect that he deserves. Well, the idea that Jesus invites us into an absolute intimate walk of faith, he wants us to know him personally. In fact, Scripture says he confides in those who fear him. You know what that means? He tells secrets to those who honor him for who he is. He invites us to know him for who he is. But in our knowing, sometimes you see people get so casual and friendly in their association with God, they forget to honor him. And fools don't honor him. We miss out on who he is. We won't even experience him for who he is until we honor him rightly. And so the W in wisely is to worship him. And I want to talk about three ways that we worship God for who he is. We're going to worship him for who he is. We're going to worship him in spirit and truth, and we worship him with a heart of thanksgiving. And so when you think about what it means to worship God for who he is, think about what Scripture says about God. If you wonder the character of God, you want to get a good composite, look at what he does, look at who he is, and look at what he cares about. He hates pride. He distances himself from pride. Don't you love that? That the God of the universe hates pride. If anybody could be prideful, he could, and he hates pride. He draws away from pride. He loves humility. He goes near the humble. He adores the poor. He's near to the brokenhearted. Jesus had a nickname, a friend of sinners. He also is a star-breathing God. The Bible says the mountains melt like wax at the presence of the living God, and at the blast of his breath, the bottom of the ocean can be seen. So do you see how great and mighty and big he is, and yet how intimately true and wonderful he is? Well, Angie Smith, she's a woman of faith speaker. She's an author. I've had her on the show a few times, and she's just a dear. And I always open the show asking, do you have a verse that's been on your heart that you want to share? And this particular day, Angie shared this verse. "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars and calls them each by name." So Angie and her family were on a family cruise, and her little girl noticed a woman who was clearly battling cancer. She really got her attention. This woman had a scarf over her bald head and just looked frail. And so Angie's little girl went and scooted next to her. And she said, "Do you see the water?" And the woman said, "Yes." And she said, "Jesus made it." She said, "Do you see the bird?" And the woman said, "Yeah." She said, "Jesus made that too." She said, "Do you see the sky?" And the woman said, yeah. And she said, Jesus made it. But I don't think he can make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And the reason Angie picked that verse is because she realized by watching her daughter that we think he's big enough to put the stars in place, but not small enough to care about the slightest details of our life. But Scripture does say that he delights in every detail of our lives. So not only is he great and powerful, he's intimately near and profoundly involved in our lives. So when we worship God, if you want to revolutionize your prayer life and your worship life, pause for just a moment and remember who it is you're talking to. So often we get into these rescue prayers. Give me a green light, God, and I hope I don't have to work tonight. And he wants to hear from us all the time. But there's times when we forget who we're talking to, that our prayers really dishonor God, and they really don't change anything in the atmosphere. So to worship God for who he is to remember who he is and then worship him accordingly. Worship him for who he is. Worship him for who he is. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up our conversation about giving our sacred yes to God, living like we're spoken for. I'm Susie Larson. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
To fully trust you, give me an undivided heart, completely at peace.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. And thinking of that song, Give Me an Undivided Heart. You know, when we have a divided heart, you know what that means? It means to see two ways instead of one. When we keep our options open. But when you think about it, to be a one-thing man and a one-thing woman is to say, Lord, heal my heart, heal my soul, help me live according to your word. Because truly, again, his will for you is your best-case scenario. We're going through the content of my new book, Your Sacred Yes, for the next 6 Mondays in a row. And so today we're dedicating it to the busyness that drains us and makes us vulnerable, and the call and the invitation to understand God's wisdom. One of the things that happens when we get so busy is we take perpetual shortcuts sort of as a way of life. Now, I'm not being legalistic here, because once in a while you just do have to take a quick shortcut, kind of have a moment, get through the moment kind of mindset. But if you find yourself perpetually saying, I just got to get through the week, just got to get through the month, just got to get through this task list, and you're living as a sprint way of life, you can't sustain that, and you'll lose your joy and you'll lose your way. And here's some of the ways that we kind of default as a way of life, when really they're meant to be the exception. Fast food diets instead of healthy food. Hasty credit card purchases instead of mindful budgeted purposes. Purchases. 1 minute devotions instead of time camped in the presence of God. Text or Facebook messages instead of phone calls or FaceTime with those we love. Connecting more deeply with people at work than with our loved ones at home. And, you know, this is just true. When we run too hard, too fast, for too long, we lose our perspective and our joy and our sense of being sacredly present in the moment, not to mention the impact on our health and our relationships. So it may feel like we gain a little extra distance or traction in the moment when we pick up speed and keep our foot on that pedal for an extended period of time. In reality, we lose ground when we live like this. When we try to run a marathon at a sprint pace, we miss life and we miss the best of what God intended for us. And we can't possibly savor that sacred, sweet journey with the Lord up the mountains, through the valleys, and by still waters. And I'm going to read another excerpt from the book, and this is for you. Always and forever, we must remember that where he guides, he provides. What he asks of us, he supplies for us. No matter if he calls us up a mountain or down through the valley, he promises to stay by our side and to whisper in our ear, this is the way, walk ye in it. He leads us on paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and nothing compares to walking intimately and powerfully with God through every season of life. When you think of the rat race, when you think of the culture that just keeps you running so hard, one of the things that drives us so often we don't even realize it is our not enoughness. That's the constant lie the enemy sends our way. We don't give enough, we don't pray enough, we don't serve enough, we don't love enough. And in all of our lack, we find ourselves still exhausted from doing too much. This is the cycle the enemy hopes to get us in and to hold us captive in. But guess what? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So how do you deal with that enemy's harassment? Does it get the best of you? Are you held captive by this lie? Are you able to put him under your feet? I want to just challenge you here in the days ahead. And I hope you can join us even on this online study. It just causes you to pause and be still and know that he's God. But take a little look, if you would, at what drives you. Take a look at the fruit of what you're commitments are costing you. In fact, I even dare you to ask your loved ones, how does my schedule impact you? How does my job impact you? How does my extracurricular activities impact you? And even as a family, I mean, one of our callers talked about the sports. In some ways, the sport thing has gotten to an insanity level. Now, one of my kids was in sports, and I loved being on the sidelines as the next mom. But I got to say, there is a level that's almost ungodly because it's taking you away from absolutely everything else. So maybe have a family meeting and say, is this a win for everybody? And even more than that, is this what God would have us do? And the thing we have to understand is that God is more than enough for us. He's more than enough for us. I'm going to play a portion of a song by Chris Tomlin. And I just think I want you to pause before we pray. Just want you to hear this, because as we look at what drives us, we have to remember we got nothing to prove and we have all of eternity to live for. And when we settle that enoughness in our spirit that Jesus is more than enough and every choice I make now is in response to what he's already done, what he's already said, what he's already proven, I'm going to live in response to his love and not in reaction to this rat race culture. Let's listen in. You know, what I can't get away from is that there'll be a day of reckoning. There'll be a day when we face Jesus and we give an account for what we did for our time. We're not on earth just for earth. We're on earth for heaven's sake. And I just want more than anything, as many people as possible, to redeem the time, redeem the day, and take back your yes and give it back to Jesus. This is a prayer out of my book, Your Sacred Yes, and it's for you and it's for me. Precious Lord, thank you for the countless ways you've protected me when I was most vulnerable and unaware of the enemy's access to me. Thank you for your constant patience and grace during those times I've strived in my own strength. Forgive me for how forgetful I can be. Take me to the higher road you have for me. Help me to see life from your point of view. Let me not miss the sacred and eternal moments you've put before me. Fill me up to overflowing, Lord. Give me eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to do your will. I long to know you more. I don't want to race through this life and miss the very reason you've placed me here for such a time as this. Make your word come alive in me. Give me your divine strategy for a life of rhythm and grace. I want to have the courage to run when you tell me to run and to rest when you tell me to rest. You know me best and you love me most. I will follow you forever. I am yours and you are mine. Change me from the inside out. I want my life to count for all of eternity. Thank you, God, for your never-ending faithfulness to me. My soul rests secure in you.
And all I have.
you found some encouragement here today. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Tune in every day this week as we cover the content from your sacred yes. Now remember this. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.